Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Society's Mutant/Metahuman, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. And today I have with me a very, very special guest. He comes all the way from Marvel and plenty of others. And he's such a, I gotta say this, he's a fantastic writer, and he's got some upcoming work that you guys are gonna wanna check out. His name is Jed, now I hope I pronounce this right, McKay, right?
Nail it.
Yes, cool! English has not failed me. So, man, welcome to the podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on, like we were talking about before. Absolute pleasure to have you on here today.
Ah, well, thanks for the invitation.
Of course. And, like, I always like to reach out and see, like, people always want to know. Like, the reason why people tune in to Comic Chronicle is because we talk to people from Marvel, DC, indie comics, people who act as superheroes and whatnot, and supervillains and cartoons, movies, because we want to know, like, behind-the-scenes sort of stuff. Like, kind of like in the life of someone who does the work you do sort of thing, you know? So it's a blast to have you guys on here to be able to talk about and whatnot. Now, Jed, it's all about you today. So I'm curious. I'm very curious, man. As a writer that you are now, where did it start? Like, not like when you first got hooked on a Marvel, we'll talk about that and whatnot, but where was your inspiration? Because we all have that one defining moment, that moment that we figure out, this is what I want to do. When did you find out for that of you being a writer?
You mean like just like writing in general?
Yeah, like writing in general. We'll go back that far. Like you had that one moment that like, I want to write. I want to tell stories. I want to be able to do this.
I mean, it's kind of anticlimactic, I guess, because there's not really that one moment. It's always been there where ever since I was little, ever since, you know, I've been moving through my life, there's always been that desire to tell stories. It's a matter of figuring out in what medium to do it. It's a matter of figuring out how to get people to read them. It's a matter of figuring out how to actually do the work and tell the stories. But I can't really say I've had a particular scales falling from the eyes kind of moment. Rather, it's always kind of been an imperative where no matter what I'm doing, work-wise or school or anything like that, in the back of my head, I'm always thinking, well, I'm doing this, but I would also like to, I really want to be telling stories. I really want writing down stuff or making stuff up, ideally for someone else to read, but failing that, at least to get it down, to have it complete, you know?
Yeah, so you didn't have that moment, so you were born with it, in a sense. That's why you're so good, is that it's like in your DNA sort of thing of writing. And that's really cool, actually.
Yeah, because it's like I've always been surrounded by, by stories, as most people are, and it was pretty. I guess it's always been there where I've thought to myself, I want to do this too. I want to make up my own stories, and whatever it is I'm doing, there's always something going on in the background, like where I'm trying to put pieces together for something else to figure it out, to figure out how a story is going to come together, figure out how a character is going to come together, and then eventually, when I sit down and write it, then that's when all that comes together and gets to go.
What was some of the first things that you started writing? Like, what was the sort of things? Was it like short stories, or was it like poems, or just what was it?
When I was very young, like in elementary school and whatnot, I'd write stories, but none of them ever really finished. I think I filled up like a notebook with one story that I thought I was going to write into a novel when I was in the sixth grade or something along those lines. And it's, obviously it was extremely rough because I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
But it's just mainly been stories and prose growing up. Then I was in high school. I took a detour back into comics. So I grew up on comics. But it was a little later that, because I would read, usually old stuff in the 60s and 70s, some 80s stuff. And then around when I was in high school, I started getting back into buying, new comics and seeing what was going on and seeing what was around. And that really kind of drove me back into this idea of doing comics. And I thought that I would, actually draw and write them myself. So I used to draw a bit, but it became pretty readily apparent that I could not draw well enough or fast enough.
It was not meant for you. It was like one of those, you saw it and you're like, well, I'm going to stick to writing for a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, what? I can admit when something is probably not going to work out for me.
Damn, that's good. So at least you kind of saw that. And I'm curious, man, like, so have you always been a, you said, you just mentioned it. So have you always been a comics fan? Like, has it been one of those since you were a kid and whatnot? Like, you've just kind of always been it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been there. I mean, I learned to read on comics mostly. With like the old Gladstone Donald Ducks and Uncle Scrooge's you'd get in the 80s before before Disney was putting out their own label on it, on Tintin books. Yeah, I mean, Donald Duck books and Tintin books are basically the first things I would read.
Really?
And then I've got, my dad collected comics when he was younger, so he's got these big Rubbermaid containers I'm looking at now in my closet that are just all his books from, like, the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
So I had a heavy sort of Silver Bronze Age education growing up.
That's not bad at all. So you grew up with some good classics, then.
Yeah, like a lot of the stuff that, or sort of a lot of the work I do now, a lot of it's, you know, I find a lot of influence in the kind of stuff that I grew up on, like most people, whereas stuff like, you know, Barry Windsor Smith, Conan, you know, Master of Kung Fu, Warlock, all that kind of stuff that I really internalized a lot by reading over and over again as a child.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of like great cues from that stuff that I really, you know, really stuck with me and that I really appreciate now.
So you oh my God. So you really were just, like, I find that fascinating and wonderful, because it's not like you grew up with some really good stuff that not that many people grew up with. So everyone grew up with, like, oh, wait, does Superman one up? But, oh, you grew up with the good shit, like the really good shit.
Yeah, my dad was very very discerning of the stuff that he would buy back in his day. So, you know, he tended to really only pick up the stuff he was really interested in for a particular writer or a particular artist. Damn. So it's an interestingly curated collection, though.
Yeah,
it's kind of beat to shit at this point, because that's what happens when you give kids comic books.
It's true. But you know what? It can get beat to shit, but, you know, who knows what it might inspire them to do, like, at a young age reading comics, you know? Like, look at you now, and because you read comics when you were a kid, too, and who knows in the future what it may do for them, which is always a wonderful thing about the medium, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's something that is really important about comics, especially older comics, is that the purpose of them is to be read.
Yeah.
And, you know, if no one's reading it, then what's the point of it?
Yeah, right, like, what is the point? Like, it's one of those of, why would you keep a comic just hanging up somewhere, just preserved? It's like, here, share it. Here, give it out to people. Let them read it and whatnot. That's the point of it. It's the point of it to be shared and read and inspire. You know, I think.
It's, I mean, you know, people like to slab their comics, and that's fine. I'm not going to tell people what to do or what they're supposed to like. No. It's not something that I'm particularly interested in.
Yeah, it's true. Now, I'm curious, Jet, where did it come from? Like, what was that moment where you got to, how did you become a Marvel writer? Like, how did the fan like yourself and lover of them, how did you be able to get the chance to go work at one of the big industries?
That's kind of, and again, not to beef on your terminology too much, but I think moment is kind of deceptive about that, because when people want to, you know, write comic books and get paid for it and, like, work for a large publisher, it's always this moment that they're interested in, but it's never a moment. It's always a process.
Yes. You know, oh, I mean? Yeah.
So, like, when I was talking about how when I was in high school, I got back into new comics and then started being interested in, you know, contemporary artists and up-and-coming artists and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in university, I got into, you know, message boards and whatnots. And I was on a message board called Enter Void. It was like a comics battle website. I was like, this would be great. It'd be a way for me to practice up and, you know, learn how to draw comics and do really well. That didn't turn out.
Yeah.
But I got to be part of a community of a lot of really young, really exciting artists. And that's where I hooked up with my friend Sheldon Vella, who is an Australian artist. So we hooked up, and I would write some scripts, and he would draw them. We'd do that for a few years, and just kind of stuff for the internet. stuff to kind of get noticed, get out there. And just, you know, it's just fun to make it. And, you know, they're really crass and dumb because that's the kind of comics you make when you're like 20, 21.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of comics you make if you're 20, 21, and also a couple of morons.
Yeah.
So Sheldon had his hustle on. He was doing the convention tours just around the U.S., trying to, you know, putting books in people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he got noticed. I mean, he's a fantastic illustrator. He's really next level.
Mm-hmm.
And, Marvel got him in to do, a story for, what is it, Strange Tales, I think it was. There's one of their anthology books.
I think it's Strange... that's testing some knowledge there. Strange Things, I think it was? I want to say Stranger Things... No, that's a TV show.
I think it was Strange Tales. It was one of their anthology books where they're getting mostly, like, unknown, but also kind of, like... alternative artists to get in and do stories for them.
Hmm.
Like they had the Perry Bible Fellowship guy, I think, did one. But anyways, that was the work he did for them. After that, he did this like Motorhead Ghost Rider kind of thing, which is really great. Anyways, they got him in to do another story for X-Men Serve and Protect, which was another anthology book, an 8-page story.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got me in to write it because he's like, well, I want to do this job, but I also don't have enough background about these characters, or I don't have any ideas for this, so why don't you come and write this, and we'll work together again, and we'll get published.
Wow.
So that was how we got in, and then even then, like, that's not, like, a defining moment, because it was 4 years till I got another job.
Really?
Which was another 8-pager. That was the Spider-Verse number 2. The anthology with the Hobie Brown sort of Spider-Punk character.
Oh, Spider-Punk? Like the recent one, if people have seen in video games and whatnot, like with the Spider-Man PS4, you said Spider-Punk?
Yeah. So that character, we gave him his background, we gave him his secret identity and all that in that 8-page comic.
Wow.
Then after that, it was another 4 years. And then I got in to do the Edge of Spider-Geddon issue with the Spider-Punk character. So again, it's a full 20 pages. And after that, things started to cook up a bit.
Wow. You're kind of like the hibernation. So it's like every few years I come out and I write for Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. So in the meantime, you know, I just sleep and dream.
Yeah. Is every year he awakens and Marvel's like, all right, wake up, Jed. It's time for another spider book or something.
Yeah, we need another 8 pages from some clown. Let's go wake this dude up.
Hey, you know what, though? At least they can't. That's just weird how it's like every 4 years. Like, so is it recently you come out with a couple things? Has it been 4 years lately or like it's 4 years ago for no spider again? No.
No, there was the X-Men story that we did. Then it was 4 years. And then that's Spider-Punk story we did. Then it was 4 years or so, and then my recent crop of stuff started coming up. I did Edge of Spider-Geddon, the Spider-Punk issue. I got Daughters of the Dragon on the go. I did Ghost Panther, and I got Man Without Fear starting up next month, as well as another little thing that I don't think has been announced yet.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah, we're not going to get you in trouble. Don't want to say that, but you got some really good books on your hands, though. Like, Ghost Panther? That, like, come on. How was it writing for that?
It was great. I was really lucky. Like, well, I mean, you know, getting any sort of work in comics does rely almost entirely on luck.
That's true.
But not almost entirely, but it factors in pretty heavily.
Mm.
But I've been very lucky with, you know, people coming to me with properties that are like really interesting. Like Nick came to me with Daughters of the Dragon, and he says. Well, actually, I emailed him saying, hey, can I have some more work, please?
I got bills to pay.
Yeah, and he's like, well, we got this Daughters of the Dragon miniseries. Do you want to write it? I was like, well, it's fantastic because, you know, the Daughters of the Dragon were in the first story that Sheldon and I did for Marvel back in 2010,
ooh.
Whenever that was. So that was great. It was great to get back to those. And, you know,
it was going back to your roots.
Yeah, the Ghost Panther thing where if I had to choose any of those like warped characters to use, it would have been Ghost Panther, because I mean there's just so much. I just think there's like such an interesting tone to it.
Yeah.
And combining two characters. Whereas like some of those, I'm like, that'd be, I think I would probably have a little more difficulty wrapping my head around it. But at this point, basically, I got the email from Jordan about it. And then I think about a half hour later, I was like, here's how it's going to go. Here's how it's going to sound. Here's how it's going to look. It's going to be, pretty dope.
It's such a juicy character to get stuff done. I mean, they're two badass characters filled with lore and backstory. So it's like, you combine the two of those and, oh my God, it's fantastically well done, I gotta say. Like, it could have gone in so many different directions, but Ghost Panther is amazing. First hand, I'll give it.
Yeah, it was, it just all came together really well. And, you know, you get these two characters where you've got, you know, your Johnny Blaze, your Ghost Rider, is your sort of tragic character who makes bad choice. You know, Black Panther's childhood is, you know, royalty, and you know, mix those together, and you basically got Shakespeare.
That's,
I mean,
true.
Shakespeare as in, you know, themes, not as in like I've created a Shakespeare story.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Man. And how was it taking on Spider-Man of all things? So, like, you've taken on some pretty iconic characters as of late, and we'll get to Daredevil in a second. But Spider-Man being able to create Spider-Punk and create the backstory for that character, and I kind of want to go back and touch on that, because we got a lot of Spider-Man fans on this show. We've had a lot of Spider-Man people on their show, people who played villains and whatnot. So I'm just curious, how was it taking on that and getting the create in the multiverse of Spider-Man and whatnot?
It was cool. Basically, they said, hey, we've got the Spider-Punk character. We know nothing about him. So give, you know, if you want to give him a backstory for this 8-pager, that'd be super. So basically all he had was a costume. Because originally, I guess that the Spider-Punk costume was, I read, was supposed to be the Spider-UK character, but it didn't work out that way.
Mm.
So I basically just kind of sat down and thought to myself, okay, well, what can we do with this world? And I was talking to Sheldon about it, and I was like, well, I don't really want to do another Peter Parker, but I remember Hobie Brown, who I'd only ever read in his, because I've got his debut issue there, The Prowler, and that was aforementioned boxes of comics.
Ooh.
And I always liked Hobie Brown, because he's kind of like Peter Parker, except he was, you know, a lot more mad.
Yeah.
And, you know, rightfully so. He had a pretty hard luck situation there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I remember that guy. He was really cool. And so I decided to make Spider-Man Hobie Brown instead of Peter Parker.
Brilliant.
And then from there, it's just like there's a lot of kind of like punk Easter egg gags and stuff like that, and just, you know, starting with that Morning in America Reagan ad, and then basically Norman Osborn looking like Ronald Reagan,
which is brilliant idea to do, because I mean it suits it so well, actually.
And the thing is too, though, it's funny that. We made that comic about a supervillain businessman who becomes the president and wants to make America great again. But that was like months before they used that as the Trump slogan.
Yeah.
Like, man, great.
God, so many people are going to come after you. They're like, you son of a bitch. Wait, no, it's not us.
Yeah, I was like, no, I didn't make this happen. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not the Simpsons. I'm, you know, maybe I'm the Simpsons. I don't know. Does it give me more credit if I told the future?
But,
oh,
yeah.
God.
So that was fun. I mean, you know, we had a few things where we're just saying, like, because just writing the sort of, like, over-the-top punk gag thing where it's like, well, what can we do then with other stuff? You know, you've got, obviously the villain's the president of the United States, and obviously he looks like Ronald Reagan, like every hardcore poster through the 1980s with that one picture of Reagan from The Killers on it. And, you know, you got Captain America's instead Captain Anarchy, and Sheldon's like, well, I'm going to make him look like one of the guys from Slapshot. it was a lot of fun. We got to goof around a lot. We got to we had to cover up some violence because it was a bit much, but
It's comics. You can get away with it.
Yeah, well, we got to do what we got to do. We had a lot of fun doing it.
It's so true.
We've been lucky to work with really good editors.
Yeah, and how was it like with merchandise and whatnot right now? Because I do like to ask sometimes, has Marvel been giving you, like, with all the characters they've been working on right now, have you been able to go in the vaults and get anything? Have they been giving you any special merchandise or gifts or anything like that? Or fans, really, either?
No, not really. I mean, I get my comps when they come out, but I don't get any merchandise or anything.
Oh, that's true. And, I mean, free comics is still good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I've got enough stuff in my house as it is. I don't need any more stuff filling up.
No, it's like I got the work. And I mean, you could, in retrospect, right now, especially with Spider-Punk and whatnot. He's coming out, and they got all this merchandise in that form at the moment, and apparently they got more coming. So. Don't go to the collector's stuff, because you might be like, oh, damn.
Yeah, that is also true, but I mean, it is what it is. That's fine.
Yeah. Now, kind of getting into your upcoming book, man, I want to touch on it a little bit, and as of this recording, the book's not yet released, so I know you can't really talk about it that much. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to talk about the one that you can't talk about, don't worry. But
yeah.
Daredevil, man, how was it? Tackling this, you're doing the Man Without Fear right now. You're going after this epic Daredevil run that was just completed, just about 2 weeks ago, I think, as of this recording or so. How is it? Was it nerve wracking to know that you're going to be coming right after this big epic run with, I believe it was Charles Soule? Like, how was it that you took it on there? Like, what was it kind of like with that?
Daredevil is that this is the highest profile book that I have worked on before.
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, I've been kind of working in my own sort of corners that it's not really that big a deal if I sort of do what I want or goof around a bit. Because, I mean, like, Daughters of Dragon, Ghost Panther, I can make up a lot of stuff and I can sort of redefine stuff how I want to.
That's true.
And, like, redefine, you know, figure out, I can kind of come up with the tone that I find most interesting or entertaining. Whereas Daredevil has a very specific set of expectations, and I'm not saying that, you know, that's a prison or that's bars or anything, but it's just that's the character, right?
Yeah, you can't. You have your restrictions when entering in a big character. Like, it's like you take on Captain America, you can't do certain weird shit unless you're huge in Marvel or even DC or anything like that. Unless you're really, 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 really huge. I mean, like you're about to be CEO or something, then you can do it, but. Yeah, I could imagine that they have that restriction.
The main thing is, it's not, if you know, if you're writing Daredevil, there are certain things you expect. Like, you're not gonna send Daredevil to space.
No.
Like, you know, you're not sending Daredevil back in time. Like, you're dealing with, you know, real problems, real difficulties, real crime stuff, and you know, it's generally often, you know, it's often a fairly somber tone.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just come off writing Daughters, which is like. Like, how many gags can I put in this per page? So it was definitely a real change in priorities, but it's been really good. I think it's going to be a really cool book. I think people are going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something where I try to do something a little different with each issue, so each issue stands on its own while being part of this larger story that leads into the next run.
Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be good. I honestly don't know how much I can say about it, just to be cautious.
Yeah, I don't want you to get in trouble. Don't want you at all for that. No.
I don't know how much I can say about that here.
Yeah, and like after the book release and whatnot, like maybe we can probably have you back on too, and because to talk about it, because especially once it all releases. So is it weekly or is it monthly?
It's weekly.
It's weekly? Oh, shit,
so
yes.
So yeah, it's gonna be a real roller coaster through January into February.
That's true.
There's gonna be a lot of ups and downs, and then it'll take you into the next run there, which is gonna be some pretty serious business.
Yeah, and I mean the art already looks real serious.
Marco Cicchetto.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, those. Sorry, what?
No. I was just, you gave the names and who's working on one. I'm like, yes. Like, yes.
Good. Oh, yeah. Like those, the covers they've been showing back a little while ago. They're like real heavy duty, real stark covers. And something I really kind of like the titles as well, because so it's got like the Man Without Fear, and it looks kind of weird because it's so small, but it's just it's the Daredevil logo just without Daredevil.
Yeah.
It just keeps Man Without Fear apart, which I thought was a really, really cool idea.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. When I heard about this series, I was like diving into it, and I'm like, who's writing this? And I'm like, oh God, yes. So that is why I wanted to get you on, because to be able to talk about what you can and whatnot. Because this series, I'm a huge Daredevil fan. So I'm like really, I'm really looking forward to this series and whatnot, because after the ending that we had, I'm like, where the hell do you take it? And Jed, I don't know where the hell you're taking me, man, but you know what? I believe in you. I believe in Jed McKay. And
I'm glad somebody does.
Yes, hey, you know, you got your fans, don't lie. And
no, I'm just joking.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, I can believe 100% it's going to be a roller coaster, especially with it being kind of weekly and whatnot. Like, but it might be easier, though, because you're not waiting that next month. Like, it might be a whole month of, if people don't like it, they're like, which would be stupid if they don't. But they're like, all this negativity for a month, and then you got months and months weekly, you get it all nailed out. You don't have to worry about, like, the months of crap and whatnot, of good, bad, reviews, stuff like that. So then once the month or so is over, then you're good. It's how many issues, though?
Five?
Okay, so yeah, a month and a quarter. So,
yeah,
you know, that's a month and a quarter of whatnot. And once it ends and you can finally see, and, you know, I don't know what this thing is you're working on right now, but you're doing Daredevil Man Without Fear, its own little series. I can see big things in your future, man. Like, it can really, really, really go nowhere else but up at this point.
Yeah, I really hope so. I mean, it's interesting working. It was interesting working on a weekly like that, because your story can be a little, story can run a little tighter, in that you don't have to worry about you know, referencing things that happened in the last issue for people may have forgotten. Whereas it's, you know, every week it's bang, bang, bang. Here's the next thing. Here's the next one. Here's the next one. So it was really interesting to work in that format, because I hadn't done that before, because I was keeping a, you know, a really, really tight schedule as far as, you know, writing the scripts goes, and then, you know, writing them, getting them in, getting notes back, revising, getting it in, and then on to the next one. Meanwhile, art starts coming in for the first script, writing the second script, finish that, and then you're just kind of this this dominoing process of checking in on the various books and various dates of completion. So it was really, it was a great sort of accelerated lesson on putting together a comic.
Yeah, and it's like weekly, as I heard from other writers we've had on a show and whatnot, I've asked them, like, hey, how is weekly and whatnot? And they all say, it's rough. And that's why not that many people want to do weekly, because it can be tough. But you seem like you enjoyed it a little bit. Like, it was, you took it with a stride and be like, listen, this is a new thing, let's see how it goes. And you took it as a new experience, which is the best way to take it.
Well, because the thing, the thing was that I was writing this weekly book. I also have a full-time day job, so.
Oh, shoot, really? You do, so comics is like your side sort of thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've only been working regularly in comics since, what, May? So.
Damn.
Yeah, it's the side hustle, it's the passion. Yeah. Passion project.
You, sir, have the patience of a god, then, to do a full-time job and do comics writing. Like, power to you, man. All full credit just gives, right? I'm giving full credit to you, because that's amazing. The dedication and the hard work, and yeah, passion project. And I know some people may cringe at that, because I work in film and whatnot when I can, so it's a whole lot of you hear a passion project a lot, and it's usually like, ugh, but you really put that passion project and made it go somewhere, which is a beautiful thing to see and hear. Alrighty, folks, don't you dare just go yet, because I have with me a special guest. Now, do you have some landscaping problems? Do you have something that, you know, you need some help with in the good old-fashioned outdoors? Well, I have with me here today a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Jesse Ewing. I'm the owner of Ewing Land Management, LLC.
That's right, folks. Right now, this can be considered a sponsor. Jesse here is a sponsor of us. Ewing Land Management is a sponsor of the Comic Chronicle podcast. And, you know, we wanted to bring him on here today because, you know, people need help. And Jesse needs work as well. So it's all, those two and two, they work together sort of thing. Today, folks, and Jesse, kind of give a backstory. What is Ewing Land Management?
Ewing Land Management is a young and growing company. We specialize in basically everything to do with tree care, removal, pruning, planting, pest diagnosis, hazard diagnosis, and mitigation, and some general landscaping services like FireWise, you know, thinning brush for fire safety and things of that nature too.
So things that people desperately need. So that's what you do. Now, you've been doing this for how long?
Just about 20 years.
About 20 years. So let's just say, folks, he's experienced. He's very experienced. Now, where exactly do you operate?
We operate out of Payson, Arizona. We operate in basically the greater Arizona, the whole state. We also operate in New Mexico and parts of California.
All right. So folks in those areas, give Jesse a call. Now, where can they contact you at, Jesse?
You can contact us at 928-363-1893. You can contact us through our website, which is www.ewinglandmanagement.com. You can also contact us through our Facebook page at Ewing Land Management LLC.
And folks, that's where you can find Jesse at today. And make sure you guys give him a contact. You hit him up, go whatever. You can also check out the website as well. Be sure to check out that website, ewinglandmanagement.com, because you guys can see all of his work that he's done so far. You can see how they operate, equipment, and everything else as such. So folks, make sure you go check him out. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, actually, you know, you're right. Passion is probably not the right term to use here, because, I mean, this isn't something that I've been, you know, sitting on for a long time and trying to develop and get out. It's, you know, I'm doing work for hire, but it's something that I find really interesting because it provides a certain challenge of saying, being told, mm-hmm. here's this thing, we need you to do this with it, how can you do that? And then it provides a certain, you say intellectual exercise or sort of problem solving to figure out how to make something work, how to put something together in a way that's going to be interesting and exciting that people are going to want to see.
Mm-hmm.
When I said passion project, which is what I meant was that thing is, it goes back to what we talked about before, and that I like making stories more than anything else. So when I'm not working at my job, I would be grinding on scripts and grinding on stories, but that's just what I would be doing anyway, right? Like, I'd watching movies or watching TV or playing video games, I'd rather write stories than do those things. Yeah. So it's just kind of how it works, yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%. Like, I understand full-heartedly because I have my full-time job, I work at a zoo and whatnot, but film and... As a fellow writer, too, I do the writing for stuff and projects and whatnot, and we do the podcast, and we do film stuff, so it's like, either, and I don't get paid for a lot of it, so it's one of those of, you're gonna, if it's something you love, and folks, take a listen in the hearts of this between Jen and I, because if it's something you love, yeah, you have your full-time job, but you're still gonna be working on what you love, you're gonna be making sure it becomes your full-time job. Film is almost my full-time thing, being a writer, designer, camera crew, all this, actor and whatnot, and then Jen, you're working full-time comics now?
Well, no, I'm still on my job.
So see, there you go. Like, it's still.
I'm not financially independent enough to take on comics full time. Yeah, but we'll just see what happens.
Right. So you're still going for it, though. So yeah, so if listeners can take heart to that and take the inspiration of keep doing what you love. Like, yeah, you may do a full time job. Yeah, maybe things get tough and whatnot, but keep trying at what you love. If you really love it, you're never stopping doing it. Even if you don't get paid, even if you don't get paid that much for it, you're still going to do it because you want to make it be something. So take inspiration from Jed and I, for the listeners, because it's working out better for one of us. And I'll say, one of us works at Marvel right now. So,
yeah. And I mean, the thing is, too, that, like, prior to, you know, getting these Marvel books starting up, last spring through the summer into now, is that I was still, before that happened, I was still writing every month. Like, I was completing a short story every month because, I had a writing group. I have a writing group. We meet up and we read the stuff that we've done. And so I would write a story every month. So I wanted to have a complete story to read every month. And prior to that, but nobody else reads them. Like, I put these stories online, nobody cares, because you can't get people to read prose online. Yeah. That's fine. It's just the way the media works. But at the same time, it's not like it was for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's not even necessarily about becoming a better writer, as is becoming a more professional writer, of saying, I can get this work done in this time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to screw around and, play games online or something. Instead, I'll write a story, because writing is more important to me than a lot of these other pursuits more interesting to me. It's something that I get more out of. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not getting paid for it, even if no one's reading it, if you want to write, you need to write. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And you mentioned one word in there. There's a key word that with writers, as us, is completed and completion. Because
yeah, exactly.
No, man, so many writers out there, and if you're a writer listening to this, which there's plenty of, complete it. If you really dedicated to it, don't get halfway through or a quarter through and just stop and move on to something else. Complete it when it's done, because that completed project, you never know what it can do for you. It could do, even if it doesn't get super famous or make you that much of money, and if you think it won't go anywhere, you know, what matters is the dedication that you put into it, the inspiration,
yeah.
And then also the, when it's completed, who knows what that story can do for you. And then it's also like another hill you climbed as a writer, and that shows, hey, you learn from that. That is your learning curve. That is your learning mountain. So always complete it, because you never know what it can do for you as a writer yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because there's things you can only learn by completing works, yes. If they're good or bad. Regardless, like, you learn things by ending something. It's something that, you know, you always see a lot is people say, oh, I've been thinking on this thing for years. I've been planning this since high school, or mm-hmm. I've been, you know, doing that. I'm like, that's fantastic, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's, money in the world doesn't make a difference unless something is done.
No. Yeah, if it's like, done, then it's something. Right?
Yeah, like, it's something I realized myself when I was a few years ago, I was at university doing education, and I was looking through, you know, young adult adventure novels. I was like, well, you know, shit, I could write one of these. It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would shoot my mouth off about this for, it had to be like a year or two. And until my friends I hadn't seen for a while, I was like, oh, yo, how's a novel coming along that you're talking about writing? I was like, oh, shit. I said, I'm still planning it. And then immediately I was like, oh, shit, I'm still planning it. So then I sat down and started writing it. And then a year later, I wrote this novel. It's still unpublished. You know, no one's really that interested in it,
mm-hmm.
but it's done. And that's kind of the point when I realized that you can finish something. You just got to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just got to put yourself out there and do it. That's all it takes, folks, is you can do it. Push yourself. Go over it. And you're like, oh, no, I can't. There's too many things going on. It's like, if it's really that important to you and you really love it, you will find the time, you will find the patience, and you will do it, and you will complete it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot easier, for instance, to say that about writing a story, because I can sit at home and write a story by myself. Making a comic book, you know, you either draw it yourself, or you have to have a friend who wants to work with you, or you have to hire somebody to do it. All of which can be done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just got to find the time, and it's like, it's work. It is work, like, but it's work you like to do, and it's work that is fun, you know, like.
And that's the trick.
Yeah, and it's not one that just turns it. It's that project where you turn it. People say all the time, like, oh, job is a job. Oh, it's just another job. Like, no, it's not just another work job. It's something you love to do, and it's your life, and it's what makes you happy. You know, it's your therapy. It's whatever it is. It's not just another job. It's another piece of what makes you happy, and a piece of what you're able to do because you love it with a passion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're getting deep and motivational for people tonight, Chad. We really are. Like, we're just like inspiration right across the face. Now, kind of... Yeah. What now?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm curious. So as a writer yourself, like, we'll kind of get into like what you want to write, but who would be like a hero or villain or whatnot, kind of getting into comics a little bit more, would, for yourself, who is someone that you want to write that maybe you haven't wrote yet, or Daredevil is maybe, but, or Dawes or Dragon, what would be something, or a team or a hero or whatever that you want to write for someday, no matter what company, Marvel, DC, or anything else like that? What would be a character or team?
Okay, so sorry, I broke up a little bit earlier, so you're just asking like what property would I like to work with in the future?
Oh, no, like, property, like, including Marvel, DC, or India and whatnot, what would be a hero, villain, or team that you would love to write for? Like, it's your dream team or dream character that you want to write for one day.
Oh, boy. I've got, like I said before, when I talk about, like, always have something going on in the background of, like, putting ideas together.
Mm.
I kind of do that, you know, four different like superhero characters, superhero teams, just kind of as a thought exercise. But you know, write it down because it's always good. You gotta write stuff down. Mm-hmm. For Marvel, I've always wanted to write Alpha Flight. I'm Canadian, ooh, and the idea of there being a Canadian superhero team is like at the time when I was a kid, I first found out about them from the Marvel superhero trading cards, and you know, it kind of blew my mind the fact that there was a Canadian superhero team.
You're right.
Because you know, there weren't any other ones. So I've always kind of had a real affection toward the Alpha Flight. And not just because they're Canadian, you know, that John Byrne run was really great stuff where, you know, they're always kind of screwing up and they're always poor and like, yeah, they're always, life is just always a little bit harder. Like, you know, they're not the Avengers, right? They're
no,
always getting kicked out of their headquarters or like they're getting their government paycheck cut off or something. Mm. So I've always loved Alpha Flight. And I mean, there's a few other sort of characters and teams. I've got a few things in the old back pocket for got like the chance to do Aquaman someday. I think that'd be cool.
Ooh.
And yeah, just a few other things, just this and that. I've got scrolled away in the old notes folder.
Hey, yeah, keep that's smart though. Like, one though, I want to say Alpha Flight and Aquaman, two really good choices. Alpha Flight especially, because Alpha Flight's one that I love them too. They're amazing. And Aquaman, amazing too. New movie coming out. But that's really smart, though. I want to put that out there because that's smart to be like, hey, I really want to work on these, so I have those stories already written. So then they're like, hey, would you like to be a part of this character? Or like Marvel comes up to you after that, maybe they hear this, and they're like, hey, you want to do Alpha Flight? And it's like, yes, here's my stories. And you just slam it down on the table ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, it's something that requires a lot of work. It's just mainly ideas and farting around, but it's always a useful mental exercise to say, here's a group of characters, what would I do with them?
Yeah.
Or what kind of arcs would I take them on? Or what sort of new elements would I introduce to this?
Oh, yeah.
So Alpha Flight's always the one I would really like to do because, again, you know, it's a Canadian superhero team. It's fantastic.
Yeah, right? Like, and you don't really get too many. You know what, though? Alpha Flight. See, now you got me thinking of, like, all this stuff for Alpha Flight that would be amazing. Who knows? Maybe it'll be like, all right, we have an Alpha Flight cartoon coming out. Jed, you want to be a part of it?
Yeah, that'd be cool. But, yeah, I've got a few ideas kicking around. I'd be curious if when another Alpha Flight book would come out, or specifically with Alpha Flight as a Canadian superhero team. But yeah, I guess we'll see in the future.
Yeah, who knows when it may be told. Like, who knows what the future can hold? It's really... The future's liquid, as I say, and like saw a lot of Marvel and DC, so you never know. Now, as a writer yourself, Jed, where do you see yourself going in the future? Like, where do you see? Do you see always doing comics? Do you see just doing comics for a while, like a long time? Don't want to get you not fired or anything, and then you maybe move on to like publishing your own books or anything like that. Like, where do you see as a writer? Like, what would you want your future to be? I'm just curious.
I mean, as far as where I would like to see my future as a writer, I would like to see myself having a future as a writer. I'd like to be able to support myself and my family with my writing. So, like, would I like to continue doing comics? Absolutely. I'll keep doing comics as long as these opportunities keep coming along to me. The opportunities that I've been extraordinarily lucky to get so far.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, I like to write a lot of prose. I'd really love to publish, that novel I wrote a little while ago. Probably needs a little cleanup at this point. It's been a couple of years, but I'd love to publish that, publish the rest of the series. I write short stories. Before I was grinding hard on the comics, I was writing a short story every month, putting it up on my my blog there that you contacted me through. And, you know, I'd love to get those out there, perhaps in a magazine or something, or just in some way to get eyes on them. Yeah. Because, you know, ideally you want someone to read a story you've written, right? A story exists to be read.
It's true. Now, before we get any further, give a shout out to that blog so people can view that stuff. Where can they find it at, man?
Yes, that is jedmckay.wordpress.com. All word jedmackay.wordpress.com.
Sweet.
That's where I host a series of stories I've been writing. Most of them are sort of a high energy sword and sorcery series, of which there are 11 stories up now. I have number 12 written. I just need to put it up. So it's basically a novel's worth of stories for free if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Oh, come on now, folks. Go check it out. I mean, come on. It's really good. I really like them. I really, really, really do. And to be able to read all that and have people go out there and do it for free. Like, people, it's free. Come on. Go check out his work. And then, you know, and then hopefully from there you go check out his books and check out Man Without Fear in January because it's well worth it.
And,
yeah, like...
And I think it's... I'm psyched for Man Without Fear. I've been looking at it. There's... It's interesting seeing different artists on the different issues and, you know, what each artist can bring, what mm-hmm. each artist brings to the table and with the strength that they bring. It's really been an interesting process.
It's true. And I'm curious, do you think that there's going to be a lot more? I think that it's because you're going to have a lot more people going and reading it right now because of the TV show being canceled. So everyone's got Daredevil on their minds and whatnot. You think that's true? Like, you're going to have that bigger influx of people coming in and reading your stories? I mean, that's good slash bad, but what do you think about that?
I'm no marketing guy. I kind of don't really see that being a thing. I think the people who are upset with Daredevil being canceled are also... No, sorry, not... The people who are upset with Daredevil being canceled who didn't read the comics before, I would be surprised if they started reading the comics afterwards.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just sort of the impression I get. Like, I do a lot of... it sounds like an insane person, but, you know, I'll go on Twitter and I'll just search Daughters of the Dragon to see if people are talking about the book. Mm-hmm. And people are, you know, people always talk about the TV show. A lot more rarely talking about the book. And I'm kind of, I don't have any statistics, but I'm kind of curious what sort of crossover there would be. Because, you know, TV helps bring a lot of people into comic books, but for, I think, a real large slice of those people, the TV is just the TV. That's what they're interested in.
Mm. That's so true. It is
true. But, I mean, again, that's just kind of my gut feeling on it. I don't have any hard information to back that up.
Oh, yeah. So you just kind of take it, I guess. I mean, we've had...
If I had to guess, that's what I'd say.
I don't know. We had a comic book store owner on here, Ken Brown, from Drawn to Comics over here in Glendale, Arizona. And he was saying that it's depends. He's seen a lot of it, of a lot of influx coming in from people, shows and the movies and whatnot, coming in and people reading and whatnot. But, well, I didn't ask him if it was specific to certain things. Maybe Daredevil, who knows at this point, since the show is canceled and whatnot. But, I mean, there's nothing really new for it, but maybe with the news. Who knows? So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be maybe a chance for it, but who knows? Maybe you're right, man. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy.
It's very likely that I'm wrong. Yeah. Well, my role in the comic book entertainment machine is a very specific one with a very specific perspective. So there's a lot going on out there that I'm not party to.
You never know. I'm curious, Jed, where can fans, so we can give a little bit more so people come check out your book, because I want people to go pick up A Man Without Fear, because it's going to be, I can vouch firsthand, I haven't read anything yet, but I'm vouching, it's going to be brilliant. Now, what can fans expect, though, from it, man? Like, what would you want to tell fans right now that maybe that they don't know about it or that you can talk about that you'd want to be like, hey, this is a couple of reasons why you should go pick up this book?
Well, I mean, it picks up right where the last run left off. We get to see the follow-up, the repercussions of Charles Soule's run. And you get to see, it answers the questions of who will remain and what will be left of them.
Mm-hmm.
And like every Daredevil fan craves, there's plenty of suffering.
That's true. Matt Murdock never usually not suffers. It's so true. Oh, God. We love it so much, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be a Daredevil comic without somebody getting a boot to the stomach emotionally or psychically or even physically, you know?
Yeah, and someone gets stabbed, somebody dies. That's a Daredevil comic.
It's usually not the person who has it coming.
No, and it's like, oh, my God. You know what? We still pick it up and we still love it. We're like, let Matt Murdock suffer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, you look at that first issue with, that bleeding Daredevil mask.
Yeah. It
basically tells you what's in store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a wild ride. And what day does it come out? Like, do you have a release date for it?
January 2nd, 2019.
January 2nd, 2019, folks. Go to your local comic book store. Go pick up Man Without Fear. It's going to be well worth it, well worth your time, well worth your money and whatnot. And, you know, Jed, I have faith in you, man, and it's going to be good.
Well, thank you. I hope that that faith is warranted.
Oh, of course.
We'll find out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And I don't... It's part of me was, because I'll give a review out on the show and whatnot, and on the social media, on the network, on the FanCorp network, which Comic Chronicles is a part of, and whatnot. And what do you think would be better? Should people wait to review the entire thing? Should people review it each individual issue, or is it one where you want to wait till the very end to give your very best opinion on?
Honestly, I feel like, kind of ideally, you want to wait till the end, but I also feel like that's an unrealistic request in comic books. Comic books is an episodic medium.
That's true.
And
yeah.
People are going to review every episode, and that's the way it works. That's the way it is. If you want the whole story reviewed at once, release it all at once. You know what I mean?
True. That's true. That is very true. It's just one of those where I've seen it happen before. Is people review a single issue. I know I'm starting to review a single issue on the show pretty soon, but if you can tell that there's more to the story, and especially with A Man Without Fear, because there's only, you said six issues?
Five issues.
There's only five issues. So that's a story within itself there. So you don't really want to review like the single issues of five-issue storyline at first here, but because you never know what's going to happen next. But I think that you kind of, if you put that in there, it's okay. But it's, I don't know, man. I'm really pumped for it. I really am, Jed. I really, really am.
And I know you'll be both.
Yeah, right. You're like, my jobs are hinging on this story. And I'm like, it's going to be good.
Yeah, and that's because, like I said, this is the highest profile book I've done up till now. So people are either going to really like it, or this will really open me up to some people perhaps disagree with what's going on. And that's fine. That's the nature of the game, right?
Yeah. Oh, people disagree. It's comics, man. I mean, people are always like, oh, it's terrible. I'm the one who says... It's fine, because I know there's a few of we're fans like me are a few in between, man, of we don't judge so harshly because it's what we love. We love the storylines and whatnot. It's like, yeah, there's things we don't like, but then we're not going to go out and start burning books like the one Captain America issue that came out when with the Hydra thing, Like, I'm not one of those guys.
People were burning that book.
You don't remember? Yeah, when Captain America first said "Hail Hydra" in that number one, before everything else went out, you don't remember? Did you ever hear about that? Like, they were burning, they were putting them all. Yeah, they were burning it. They were like the people.
I remember people being upset, but the book burning thing, I must have missed out on.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. Then people were assholes. You're good. I like to say, like, people who burn their books because, oh, he says Hail Hydra, you're not a real comic fan. You're an idiot. You really are. And I'm going to get so much backlash.
I mean, you know what? Like, burning a book you already paid for to protest, it seems like a really dumb move, but, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Fuck those people. Fuck them. We don't care about them. We're good. But, man, I want to say thanks for coming on the show. I don't want to keep you on for too much longer because... I know if we keep going, you might spoil something, and we don't want that to happen. So I seriously don't. And I want to say, man, thanks for coming on. It's been a blast having you on and getting this in-depth knowledge and being able to talk to a fellow writer and whatnot, too.
Yeah, for sure.
So thanks.
Well, it's been great. It's been great to talk to you. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for the platform.
Yeah, of course.
To plug my various works. So yeah, that's great. I really appreciate your time.
Of course, man. Now, to keep people still, for people who are a fan of you just right now and people who have read you and whatnot, where can they find you at social media? Because that's a buddy of mine, a producer friend once said, social media is the new business card of today. Where can people find you at, man?
Well, I was very lucky to lock down twitter.com/JedMcKay, so that's where I'm at. I always try to get my name on various emerging social media platforms, and Twitter I got, Instagram I did not, and I'm still kind of bummed out about that. My Twitter is where I'm most active, most accessible. That's where I get most of my information across. So yeah, twitter.com/JedMcKay, JedMacKay.
Cool. And where is that blog once more, man?
That is jedmckay.wordpress.com. It's a blog called Cauldron. It is a bunch of stories, serial stories from different in different themes, different worlds, different characters, that kind of thing. But yeah, longest running story is about 11 episodes now. It's about 68,000 words, I think.
Wow, shit.
And there's a few other series that have sort of started. A couple, they only have a couple installments, some that probably won't go any further, but just something to try it out, just something to keep keep the blade sharp, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Always keep testing what you're good at. Keep making... Always keep working on what you're good at and what you love, because it can sharpen that blade. It's really true. No.
Yeah, and if you're not good at it, you gotta work even harder at it.
Yeah, right. You got a dull blade, and you gotta sharpen that shit down.
Yeah, start dropping, bud.
Yeah. Oh shit. Well, folks, if you want to stay tuned with Comic Chronicle and everything that we do, but first go check out Jed. Make sure you go follow him. Check out the blog. Check out everything about him. Give him a follow. Make sure you buy his book. And after all that, make sure you follow Comic Chronicle and everything that we do on the FanCorp Network, at RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram. That's at RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram. And then FanCorp Network on Facebook and YouTube. So, and make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes or Podbean, wherever you guys are listening. Stay tuned with everything new. And because we're going to give you guys reviews on Man Without Fear. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. And folks, make sure you go check it out. January 2nd.
January 2nd, 2019.
Yes, January 2nd, 2019. Go to your local comic book store. If you're in Glendale, Arizona, go to Draw in the Comics. Well worth your time.
And then every week after.
Yes, and every week after. Make sure you guys go every week after, too. Now, folks, we're going to give you guys one last thing. Jed, any last words to the fine people out there?
Thanks for listening. If you think this sounds all right, maybe check out some of the books that I've written. Daughters of the Dragon, last issue's dropping January 30th. First two double-sized issues available on Comixology. So that's 80 pages of comics for about $10.
Yeah.
Which can't beat that. A travel form on art, number one, and Joy Vasquez, and on number two. And yeah, it's a book I'm really proud of, and I hope you'll give it a try.
Yeah, check out his books, folks. I mean, don't check out Daredevil. Check out everything he's done, because it's well worth that time. It's well worth it. And folks, before we say goodbye, I want to say, if you want to support the show and get some fun exclusive prizes, go to patreon.com/comicchronicle. That's patreon.com/comicchronicle. And you too can be maybe even on the podcast. So, folks, as a final word, I would like to say, stay classy, Hell's Kitchen.